Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. Great C41 color neg, chrome, black and white, instant film, pack film, and the Instax is in the country. Check them out, www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all of your analog photography images, your film, everything you need done. These guys will take care of it. Beautiful work, Hollywood, California. Definitely check them out, www.richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. This is it, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. You really need to send some film in and check this out. It'll blow your mind on how much more latitude, dynamic range, density. Beautiful stuff. Check them out, www.dr5.com. And of course, our friends over at Upstrap at www.upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder. Really cool stuff. I have them on all my bodies. You'll dig them. Upstrap rocks. And our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things analog, dry plate, wet plate, film, you name it. It's all going on. Definitely check them out. www.apug.org. We got a great show lined up for today. We're going to have with us Richard Israel. Richard is a professional photographer from North Carolina and, of course, originally from London. We're going to talk to Richard about his photography, why he's ditched digital to go back to film, and a lot of great stuff. Richard, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks, Scott.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Very cool to see your great photography, and I wanted to talk with you today, Richard. You're a wedding and portrait photographer in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. You've been shooting stuff for many, many years. You've gone digital, and I think you're moving back to film. So I just wanted to talk with you today about yourself, your photography, how you got on photography, and then sort of talk about this digital to analog and maybe back and forth transition here. So tell us a little bit about Richard.
Okay, well, I'm from the UK. I was a hairstylist for many, many years, and I got into photography by virtue of wanting to immortalize my hairstyles. And I got into photography doing that. And then the bug bit. I got totally obsessed with photography, and I got to a crossroads in my career with hair where my next move would have been a long-term commitment. So I thought, I didn't want to get to 60 and think, why didn't I give photography a go? So I took a leave of absence and set about being a photographer. I did the starving artist thing for about 3 years, and then I started to build up my work. And I was pretty much concentrating on fashion and beauty at that time, and I was working in London and Milan. I had a job with Matrix, the hair company. It was here in the US. And I came over here to do that shoot. And then I met some folks opening a studio in Charlotte, and I ended up working with them full time. Then I met my wife, and here I am 17 years later.
Wow, what a difference in environment from being in the UK to moving over to Charlotte.
Yes, it is. But it was a tough transition. But once I accepted the fact that Charlotte was not London and accepted it for what it was, and North Carolina is a very beautiful place. There's gorgeous beaches and mountains within easy driving distance. No, I sort of grew into loving it, and I love living here now, as long as I can get home to England every so often.
There you go. So tell me, you started off your photography definitely shooting film. Let's talk about how you got into the photography bug and then moved forward, and I think you went into digital. So let's talk about now how you actually got into shooting photography.
I used to do a lot of magazine work as a hairstylist, and as I said, always wanted to immortalize my haircut. And I had friends who were photographers, and I was doing a shoot, and my friend, who was the photographer, said, why don't you take the next roll of film? I did, and of course, it came out great because everything was set up for me. But when I saw that stuff, something just happened inside me, and I just got this incredible passion for photography, which became obsessive. And that passion has never really waned. I've always loved it so much, probably sometimes too much.
So when you worked in photography and you had just mentioned that you were the starving artist for a few years, did you go right off the bat and say, I want to do portrait, I want to do wedding work? Or was it I'm going to do some commercial hairstyling type gigs? Where did you actually get your finding in photography? Or was it I want to shoot anything, I don't care?
Well, no, I was totally focused at that time on being a famous fashion photographer. That's what I was bent on being, was a famous fashion photographer. And I did all the things in Europe that you have to do to get that, or even have a shout at doing it, by working in Milan some and testing, but totally focused on fashion and beauty. Everything else in my arrogant way of thinking was not as cool as being a fashion photographer. But then when I came to Charlotte, I sort of realized there was no fashion here, per se. Fashion photography clients, at least. So I started shooting more commercial, but still apparel-related things and model-related things. And then I used to do a lot of fashion stories for bridal magazines, most notably Elegant Bride. And from that, people were asking me to shoot their weddings, and I had no sort of interest or no knowledge of wedding photography, just that it was not a very cool thing to do, but I did it in the way that I thought I should do it. And I just loved it, because every area of photography that I loved, all the things I loved to do and the creativity, I was very free to do that. There was a lot of creative satisfaction for me, and then I realized also that it was a great business thing too. So I sort of slowly slipped into shooting weddings, and now I love it. So I love weddings, and I love doing portraits too.
So let's go from, how'd you get the digital bug? Tell me how the digital stuff started out and what you thought at the time of the digital compared to what you were shooting on film. And then how did that transition go from originally shooting film and getting into the wedding and portrait stuff and then moving into digital?
Well, with the digital thing, like everyone else, I suppose, I just felt that is what one should do. And the challenge of working with something different was appealing to me. And I just saw that that was the way of the future and just something that one had to get into doing. I was already working with Photoshop and like having my images scanned and doing things in Photoshop when I think the first version I ever got was like Photoshop 3 or something when Layers first came out. So I was pretty used to working digitally, and then it was just something I just felt I had to do. And with the weddings, I'd got things over the years, like I was happy with my images and I felt I was delivering to clients quality products. But I always missed film. I always missed the beauty of film. And it always gnawed at me, and I always thought, like, trying to wrestle my images to look like film. I got to a point where I thought, well, why don't I just actually shoot the real thing again?
Exactly, and I think that's the thing that people don't understand that have never shot film is you have a certain look. There's a certain organicness that has with an image in, and you've experienced this. You've tried to replicate this, and there's some great software from On One, from Nick, yeah, to make your digital images look like film, but it's almost there, but not yet.
It really isn't, Scott. And I had actually, like about a year ago, I had an epiphany moment when I was going through a big box of my old darkroom printed fiber-based prints. And I was looking at them and I was just thinking, my goodness, I mean, these just look brilliant. It just got that tingle going inside of me and it sort of ignited this passion. And then out of the blue, a few weeks later, this couple ordered a print from their wedding when I was shooting film, and I scanned the negative. And again, I was looking at it, I just thought, my goodness, I mean, this is just so beautiful. I know, it's just so much texture to it. There's the tonality and the graduations between shadow and highlight are just so smooth. When you overexpose color film, it just makes the skin tones just beautiful and soft and dreamy. Digital, it ends up looking like dolphin skin when you try to soften digital and make it look pretty. And then if you overexpose it, it blows out. Film is very, very difficult to blow it out.
Really, if you look at digital and you look at film, let's take chrome. Chrome's got about 3/10 of a stop of latitude, right? You got to nail it right on the money.
Absolutely.
To do digital right, it's really about 5/10 of a stop.
Yes.
And people don't realize it. And they think, oh, I can just shoot it in raw and it'll all work out. Don't worry about it. Well, guess what?
Yeah, well, of course, it doesn't. And I think there's a lot of wedding photographers who had never shot chrome. I was really fortunate because I had never actually shot color negative film until I started shooting weddings. I had always, all through my career, shot chrome film. So I was always used to getting my exposures like on the money. I know a lot of wedding photographers, when they went digital, they had a hard time with not blowing out highlights and probably spent like the last 30 years of their careers overexposing things dramatically. Obviously, with the latitude of negative film, they never really realized it until they got digital in front of them.
So what really got you out of saying, okay, well, I've been shooting digital for many, many years now. I think almost 8 years you shot digital. And what brought you back to say, you know something, I want to go back to film? Was it film stock? Was it cameras? Was it the lab? What actually brought all this stuff together to bring you back to say, you know something, I'm going to start shooting film again?
Well, just had this like burning inside of me to start doing it again. And I started shooting like a few rolls with each wedding. And I was getting the stuff back and it was just like, oh, wow, you know, I missed it so much. It looked so good. And then I started noticing some other photographers who I really admired and I loved their work. I noticed that like most of the photographers that I really love, who I consider like the top wedding photographers who are regularly published in Martha Stewart and all those magazines, all shot film. And I was inspired by those Jose Vila. I love his work, and he really inspired me to really go for it. This year, I was hoping to raise my prices, but I'm putting sort of like weight on that, which was going to compensate for the extra cost of film. But I would tell you, Scott, that the time that I'm not spending in front of the computer is worth every penny of the money I'm spending extra on film and processing.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Like you said, people that are published and all the stuff that's going on, it is on film. And it's amazing that you see these high-end publications pick these images out that are shot on film. Yeah. And I think if you look at the total range or the gamut of wedding and portrait photography that's still shot on film, is probably now maybe 1%.
Yes, absolutely. And it also gives you a niche in your market. No, I mean, I'm probably the only person in my market. I mean, probably, well, all the ones that I know, and I know quite a few photographers, like not just here, but also work in Charleston. I don't really know of any other photographer that is working with film. I mean, people look at me like as if I'm sort of lost my mind or something. But really, my clients notice the difference. People say there's something different about your work. They maybe not be able to put their finger on what it is, like say what it is. But when I get it out of them, it's pretty much they're seeing the look of the film.
Let's talk about your workflow. Let's talk about what kind of stock you're shooting with in gear. So are you shooting any digital all anymore or just very frequently?
Well, for commercial jobs, I do shoot those digital because that's the best tool for the job, because most commercial clients now want their film yesterday. So that's the way to go with that. But all my wedding and portrait stuff, and this year going forward, I'm going to be shooting, I would say, 75 to 80% of my work film. Towards the end of the reception and stuff, I'll probably shoot digital with that because I'm not really looking for art at that point.
No, you're just documenting what's going on. So
exactly. And if I'm shooting like toddlers or something with my portrait, I have to chase them around and bang out a lot of stuff. I may shoot some digital for that mixed in with the film.
Like you said, there's nothing wrong with digital, and digital has its place, and you can do fast and very quick delivery with it, and the cost is low once you've acquired the gear. What gear are you shooting with when it comes to film camera stuff? Let's talk about you're using for your workflow.
I use Nikon 35mm cameras. I sold most of my really wonderful film stuff a long time ago, so I'm reacquiring things, but I did hang on to my 35mm stuff. So this year I'll be shooting with an Nikon F5. My F100, and I have a Mamiya 645. I've got several lenses, but the one that I use most of the time is the 81.9 lens, which is like a medium format Noc Deluxe. The depth of field is like really, really shallow, and I just love that. And then I have a Holger, and I have a Mamiya 7 rangefinder camera, which is pretty cool too.
Oh, beautiful. So what do you like, Richard, for stock? What do you like to shoot? Black and white color, what do you use and what brand? Kodak, Fuji, Ilford, what do you like?
I like Fuji for color. I love the 400H and the 800Z. And also I love the look of the Press 1600 film as well, which is really nice.
Now, are you shooting the Press 1600 at 16 or are you shooting it at 8? What are you doing with the 1600 Press film?
And I'm going to be starting with a new lab. My intention is to shoot a couple of test rolls at different ISOs and see what I like the best, because 400 and the 800, I always overexpose it by at least one stop, maybe one and a half. But the 1600 is a little bit more sensitive. It can go real contrasty or real lacking contrast if it's not done properly. So I'm going to experiment with this new lab with that. And then black and white, I love Tri-X. I love Fuji Neopan 1600 and the Kodak TMZ 3200.
I think that's one thing that's great about film that people that haven't shot film before is every piece of emulsion is different. They all have a different look. You can expose them differently, and you have such a variety of things that you can do, even with one stock, even with the Fuji 400H or the Neopan 100 or the 1600 or the Tri-X or whatever it is. You can tweak everything so much. It's really cool.
Absolutely, yes. And I mean, process, you know, a gazillion different ways that you can, especially with Tri-X. There's so many different things you can do with Tri-X. You can get it so it's really grainy and gritty, or you can get it so that even toned. I mean, it's pretty awesome what you can do with a great lab.
No, I mean, there's a picture on one of your websites that's just beautiful with the Rolleiflex.
Yeah, I've got that one. I use that too.
Old Salem, it's just beautiful image, and I'm sure this is on Tri-X.
Yes, it is. It's on Tri-X. And actually, I lit that with my car headlights. I remember that vividly. And I shot that. It was like the Rolleiflex, because it has no mirror, you can use a very slow shutter speed, have it on the tripod. I think I shot that like a 15th of a second at 2.8. Yeah, that Rolleiflex is a pretty awesome camera, actually.
Yeah, and people can understand that you can make this beautiful photography. I mean, that's a great-looking image there, and you can do this from some economically priced cameras. If you don't want to pop for a Rolleiflex, I mean, you can get like a Mamiya C220 for $100 on eBay.
Yeah, and also, you know, like there's a Chinese one called the Seagull, which is like $60 or $50 or something.
Yeah, so you can make some great stuff, and it's just really cool to be able to shoot this. Tell me here, Richard, what are you doing for lab? Who are you having process your stuff? What are you doing about scanning, so forth and so on?
Okay, well, up until recently, I was using a local lab. While it was okay, but the processing wasn't what I really loved to see. And so after hearing so much about Richard's labs in LA, I've spoken to them, and I'm going to be using them going forward because they sound like they're just totally into customizing to what you want.
Oh, exactly. I mean, they'll do what you want. You can tell them, okay, well, I want a Noritsu scanner. No, I want it scanned on a Durst. Nope, scan it on a Frontier scanner. And they all have their different looks. So you can say, well, I love the way Jose scans coming out. Why don't you scan it on the Frontier SP2500? Yeah. And they'll do it. And then when you get the stuff back, you go, you know, I like to have a little more saturation on this or that, or I want my development this way. And they'll tune stuff for you. And they are basically, I think at this point, the number one lab when it comes to any kind of volume for wedding and portrait work in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I keep hearing that name over and over and over again. And so, like, this year, I'm going to use them for everything. Because, to be honest with you, I mean, Charlotte is not noted to be, like, one of the leading areas in photography. In London, I was so spoiled by having, like, amazing labs. And they sound exactly like what Richard's lab does. They customize for you, and they really look after you as a client and want you to have your look. I mean, now when I go to local labs, it's sort of like I'm treated like the red-headed stepchild, you know, bringing rolls of film in, like making off-handed jokes like, what's this? Like they've never seen film before. So I'm looking forward to that.
But I think you're going to dig that, and I think it's just great to see that you're embracing your roots with photography and noticing the advantages of shooting analog and how it's going to stand you out, I think, different from your competition. At least in your area, that you're going to have this fine art, organic, beautiful-looking imagery. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you can probably do most of this with digital, too. But look at the time it's going to save you. It'll give you more time to go behind the camera and shoot more stuff.
That's right. And getting out there and meeting people. That's how I get my business. I don't really advertise. It's all by word of mouth and relationships that I've developed. And the more I can do that, the better it's going to be for my business. Instead of stuck in front of that Mac for 90% of my existence, which I was doing before.
No, you don't want to waste all your time away with that. And like you said, you have the nice balance of everything going forward. So what do you look forward to here, Richard, with your photography moving forward? Is there any kind of projects that you're working on? I know people go to your website. You have some really great imagery here. And I know we've been featuring a lot of wedding and portrait people here lately, but there's a lot of people that are shooting film. And there's other people that are doing it too, but you have some great stuff. So tell me what you're looking forward to moving forward. You just started a new website, actually. Let's talk about this too.
Yes, and what it's called I Love Film, and it's just something I wanted to share my passion and love and hopefully inspire some people, because there's a lot of photographers, Scott, as you know, that have never shot film before. The more I speak to people about it, there seems to be like this real sort of like fascination and interest in giving it a try. And then a lot of my friends who used to shoot film and they haven't shot film for a long time, like myself, are getting this like curiosity back. And this like hunger and desire to get in like that warm fuzzy feeling to sort of like try it again. And I just think that if everyone buys a roll every so often and shoots, I think we'll have film for a lot longer than if they didn't.
Well, definitely. I mean, look at, well, there's an image up here that I think is great that people would never think of doing. You have Ektachrome Kodak Chrome 160 tungsten based lighting film.
Yeah.
And it's overexposed by two stops with natural light and it just looks fabulous.
Well, thanks. With my fashion stuff, I used to push that stuff. Well, like not push process it, but I used to underexpose it and just take it to the cusp of it blowing out completely. And I sort of had that down to a bit of a fine art. So I'm going to start doing stuff like that again, too. I mean, I just want to play. I just feel like I've had a whole new lease of life on my photography career. I just feel like I'm starting all over again from scratch. You have that same sort of excitement for it. And I'm just going to see what happens, where that leads me. Doing a few little workshops with people who are interested in giving it a try and need a bit of a helping hand to get started.
Yeah, but I mean, they definitely need to go to look at your deal. It's iluvfilm.blogspot.com. And look at this image you have of this woman here that's in a, looks like a tie-dyed, maybe leotard top or something, but the way this picture looks and the way that it's overexposed, you would never think of doing this with Chrome. It looks awesome.
Well, thanks.
What do you do to keep your wedding business moving forward? What kind of marketing programs are you doing? I know you said that you really don't advertise it. Is this all word of mouth? And are you finding people are looking to Richard to do their wedding photography because they are finding out that you are shooting film?
Yes, I'm finding this more and more. I mean, I think like from a year ago till now, instead of sort of like trying to bend myself every which way, because if you look at enough wedding forums and people's blogs and things, it can make you insane trying to figure out what thing you should be. But I decided just to be me. I mean, I just love making people look beautiful, but them real. And I think that's what appeals to people about the work, is that it's not forced. It's just, for want of a better word, organic and classic. And I think that really connects with people. And I make a point of creating relationships with wedding planners. And I have sort of like a small group of people that I network with who I seem to get enough work from nurturing and having those relationships. Maybe like 10 or 12 different vendors that always seem to get referred by, and I refer people to them.
That's great that people are doing this, and it's just, your work is beautiful. What did you look forward to, Richard, with experimentation with film? I know you're going to start doing more stuff with Richard, but is there any kind of gear you're looking to do in, or any kind of new film you want to try or play with? What do you look forward to with analog photography that's got your interest all sparked up here?
Okay, well, the website, the online photography store, freestylephoto.com, have these really interesting new films. One of them is called ADOX. I mean, there's like a whole slew of these films that I think they're from Eastern Europe that have the look of the films from the 50s and 60s when they were like real silver rich. And I'm looking forward to giving those a try. And I also want to start experimenting with platinum printing and would love to be able to do my portrait by way of platinum printing. That's something that really excites me. And I'm taking a course in a couple of months on tintype photography. And printing and coating your own tin plates and things. So, you know, the alternative process thing is something that is really sparked an interest with me.
I think that's what's so cool about it. The analog process is you can shoot film, you can shoot sheet stuff, you can make your own emulsions, you can do wet plate, you can do dry plate. I mean, you can put liquid light on a rock and expose it, and you can have a photograph.
Absolutely, yeah. And the platinum printing, I mean, that is something that is truly a thing of great beauty, as a platinum print. So I'm going to give that a go. I've already made arrangements to borrow my friend's 4x5 camera indefinitely, so I'll have something that I'll be able to make great contact prints with. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And then with your experience, too, with what you're doing with the digital work, you can scan your film, you can bring this stuff into Photoshop, you can tweak it, and then you can output that as a negative and print it on an inkjet, and then use that as a contact print for platinum printing, and you can do some pretty cool stuff with using this hybrid workflow. With capturing on film, it goes digital and it goes back out as a neg, and then you can print it analog. It's pretty neat right now, really.
Oh, yeah, it really is. You see, I think, Scott, that when digital came in and then everyone became digital, I think we threw the baby out with the bathwater. I think that we prematurely just like forgot all the wonderful things that analog photography gives us, like you were saying. And I think the two can coexist wonderfully, and they do, obviously, even as many people have successively hybrid workflow with the contact prints being one of them and scanning in eggs and stuff. There's just the opening of one's mind can open a whole new world to you, which is, you know, I think why it's excited me so much. You know, I just feel like I've discovered a whole new world again.
This is a great time to be shooting film and doing this work. And I think those of us that are shooting film, we do stand out from our competitors, and we can do great work and make beautiful images and spend less time at the computer.
Yes, just imagine being able to offer and selling your clients a beautiful 11x14 platinum print, which you can charge a lot of money for, as opposed to the person down the road who's doing the predictable stretch canvas print. I mean, it's like, that's a product that will be so unique.
Realistically, you can actually offer somebody, and if you have someone that really wants this, you can do a full wedding in black and white and offer them a full album with gelatin silver fiber prints.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, what a wonderful thing. And I'm sure there are people out there doing it.
Very expensive to have an album done in fiber unless you're doing it yourself. And if you're doing it yourself, it's going to be probably even more. But Rickus Valadares in Miami and in Boca Raton is shooting all black and white in his weddings. He's getting ready to do some fiber albums. I mean, they're going to be quite costly, but I mean, it's unreplaceable, beautiful stuff.
Yes, it is. I mean, that stuff lasts forever. I mean, I know platinum prints, for example, pretty much will last for eternity. I mean, they will last forever and ever and ever. And digital prints, because I've been printing on an Epson for many years, and I know that their longevity, while very impressive, is nowhere near the lifespan of a archivally preserved fiber-based print.
No, another thing, too, is with this new Epson technology, it's great. They have their Ultrachrome K3 HDR ink sets, and you can get like 2.63 D-Max.
Yes.
But with just any kind of rolled black and white F-type surface paper, you can pull a 4.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't get that in digital yet.
You can't, I know. There's one thing I could really kick myself, Scott, is that I had all this like amazing stuff, you know, that I sold, but I'm sort of like slowly but surely recouping it again, although I'm not too sure if my wife is into me getting another darkroom in the garage or something, so we might have to pass on that one. But
well, there's a lot of people out there that are doing it. You can have some nice prints made. And still, I think just when it comes to gear and equipment, you can pick up stuff pretty economically priced, get some beautiful cameras at a great deal, and actually have fun and create just a unique image with using a film as a capture device.
Yes, you can get like an excellent rated one for like $400.
Yeah.
A Canon 1V for about the same price.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm shooting on. I have a bunch of 1VHSs, and you can't go wrong. You can buy these things with like 10 rolls through them for like $800.
Yes, and they're like a brick. I mean, those things are like made to last. I mean, they will last you a lifetime.
Yeah. So it's a great time to be doing this stuff. So, Richard, I want you to make sure, let's talk about your website. So let's talk about your main website itself so they can look at all your beautiful photography and what you're doing with the wedding and portrait work. I want to talk about the I Love Film website. Give us all the addresses so people can go check out what you're doing.
Okay, well, my main website is richardisrael.com. That's ISRAEL, just like the country.com. That's my main website. And then you can access my regular blog from that. My I Love Film website is iLoveFilm.blogspot.com.
Yeah, well, this is great stuff, and I do appreciate you taking the time today to chat with us. Great to see this beautiful photography you're doing. It's so cool to see that you have originally started on film, you went full digital, and now you're mainly back to analog capture, and you can see the use and how the stuff is great and the beautiful imagery you can make. And I'm sure your clients love the stuff too.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, this is great stuff. And Richard, we definitely look forward to talking to you again. Make sure you give us updates on what you're up to. And this is just beautiful work, buddy, and I do appreciate the time today.
Well, thanks, Scott. So I really appreciate it too.
Well, there you go. Richard Israel. Great stuff going on with Richard. Beautiful photography. Definitely check him out. And of course, you've been listening to Inside Analog Photo. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. And the Inside Analog Photography radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm at FujifilmUSA.com/professional. Our friends over at Richard Photo Lab at RichardPhotoLab.com, DR5 for black and white chrome at DR5.com, and of course, Upstrap-Pro.com, and our media partners at the Analog Photography User Group at www.apug.org. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.